We're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I'm your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I am also Mike.
And we're taking a little piece of that retrospective pie that we keep teasing you about and delving into it today. We're not doing a retrospective per se. We are instead doing kind of a recap of the most winning films in Oscar history. Those that had the most Oscar wins on a night, those that may have swept, those that may have swept the big five categories, right. All that fun stuff is in this episode for you. It's kind of a primer to get you back in the Oscar mood. We had our deviations, we're still in the middle of them. Yes. We're getting through the MCU review episodes, we're getting through the See by Skip episode, which just came out a couple days ago, and now we are kind of gearing up to get back on the serious track of the Academy.
We've had a lot of Oscar off-season fun. We're going to continue to do that, but
for sure,
our bread and butter is always going to be covering the Oscar ramp up to the actual award show. It's going to be retrospective and mining Oscar history, and it's going to be covering current movies that are prospective Oscar winners or movie events. That's kind of what we do, and we throw in some fun stuff where we can, like the Netflix episode that we're going to have coming out after this one eventually. And this here is kind of a short history lesson, we think.
Yeah, it's something we haven't, you know, we touch on it from time to time. We haven't really had a chance to sit down and power through it and
Right. Really
frame it. So that gives us a chance to do that today. And it's really just what we said at the top. It's going over the best winners.
Right. The biggest film winners, the top,
the creme de la creme
winning films. We've been debating the title of the episode.
The right wordature.
We'll see what comes out.
It's about good movies.
Yes. But we're not going to get into the actors and actresses. We're not going to get in the guy who did the score for Star Wars, John Williams, who's won 17 Oscars or whatever he's won.
Right.
We're not going to
do
that.
We're just talking about the actual movies that have found success. But before then, let's get into our social media recap. You can reach us. Tell us your See by Skips. Tell us what you want to see from us from now on. Tell us your thoughts on this or any episode. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar at Facebook. Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar on Twitter. Mike, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com. Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Reddit. And we are also Mike, Mike, and Oscar.com coming soon.
Yes, we literally just recorded a podcast about our new movie game, See by Skip. So we can't include any of those, your responses quite yet, but we will in the future.
For sure.
Do get at us about those.
And we're going to start off this episode, as we hope to either start or finish every episode from now on, with a See by Skip, and it's one that I just came up with to ask my dear friend, also Mike,
okay,
here. So ready? See by Skip. Now, like we said, you can get creative. If you don't know what See by Skip is, we just devoted our entire last episode to it. Go check that out. It's a lot of fun. A lot of laughs were had. It is ridiculous, but the meat of the episode is important. We're going to, like I said, either start or end, or hopefully work in every episode a See by Skip. So what that is you will have three options, and it's the movie version of Fuck, Marry, Kill. And only instead of saying you'll fuck a movie, which is odd because once again, the correct and only answer to that is Brad Pitt from Fight Club. We are taking movie films, performances, actors, actresses, and you're going to have to agree to see one, buy one, or skip one entirely. So
Right. It's
the movie version of Fuck, Marry, Kill. So Mike,
See by Skip.
See by Skip of these three. They are not movie titles. They are performances.
Okay.
Bette Davis in All About Eve.
Oof.
Jack Nicholson in Chinatown. Al Pacino in Godfather Part 2.
Oh, my goodness.
See?
Oh, my
goodness. See one, buy one, skip one. The only rule for this game, by the way, is that you cannot opt out or combine categories.
That is brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. But I have a quick answer for you because
okay,
I will study the hell out of Al Pacino in Godfather Part 2. I have studied it. I will continue to study it. I'm going to buy that.
All right. Fair
I'm
enough.
Going to see Bette Davis as All About Eve because I will always watch that movie if it's on. I'll always watch that movie if it's available. I don't necessarily know if I bought it at any point in my life. I don't think I have.
Gotta get on that.
Maybe I bought it for my mom. I'm a bad person. And Chinatown is something I've also studied ad nauseum, even though, and then we kind of really went after it in our 1974 retrospective there that we'll talk about in a minute. So I'm going to skip that one for these purposes. How about you?
Cancel Jack Nichols. I also
don't love Jack's performance as much as I love the other two performances.
The only thing that shocks me about your answer is that you didn't buy Bette Davis. I was expecting you to buy that. I think you have it right.
I like to keep you on your toes.
I think you have it right.
Do you agree?
I think I agree.
I think that's bad radio, but that's honesty.
Yeah,
that's what we do for you, folks.
I can't convince myself otherwise. Betty Davis and Al Pacino are kind of on another level.
He could do the Stephen A. Smith thing and just to refute me just for ratings.
However!
He won't do it.
No. I think you have it right. I'm proud of you for coming up with that so quickly.
So yeah, go back and listen to our episode on See by Skip. Go back and listen to our other retrospectives. We have the 1997 Best Picture, which is episode 2, The Year of Titanic. The 1987 Best Actress, which is episodes 3 and 4, Cher over Meryl?
Yeah, some heavy performances in that category as well.
2001's Best Director, episodes 5, 6, and 7. It's a filmly feud concept where we basically review the other three films in the first episode, and then Peter Jackson. We're all about The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and the Mulholland Drive explanation, which we do fairly well, I thought.
Yeah, filmly feud is something that we've only done once so far, but it will be in the pipeline again. It's when we both feel so strongly about one of the nominations. Yeah. Each that sure. We think it's a two-picture race or a two-nominee race, we will again do one episode covering the other three in total.
And then the trimmings, because we give you the year in review, mm-hmm. what's happening in the news, and then of course we re-rank everything at the very end, so it has all the trimmings to that format as well.
We also have in our pipeline the 2012 Best Supporting Actor. Those are our episodes 10 and 11. Episode titled Daniel Day probably should have won this too. Silver
like
Lining Debacle as well.
I like both those titles.
Yeah, that was a review of me missing something very big and obvious in Silver Linings Playbook. You hear me have a mea culpa on basically live.
Those were fun.
Yeah, those were good ones. Also 1974 Best Actor, also Mike just alluded to. Those were our episodes 12 and 13 in our library. The Calm Before, The Cat Caused Storm, and The Greatest Upset. The Greatest Outburst of the titles of those.
Dustin Hoffman for Lenny, Jack Nicholson for Chinatown, Al Pacino for
mattered.
Godfather Part II. Losers.
Because they all lost to Art Carney.
Art Carney.
And his cat! But yes, Harry and Tonto won the Best Actor for that from 1974.
We also got a couple retrospectives in the can, but on our old audio format, so we'll probably re-record those. But 1994 Best Picture, Gump, Shawshank, Redemption, and Pulp Fiction involved with that one. Mm-hmm. 1989 Best Screenplay, which was Do the Right Thing, When Harry Met Sally, Crimes and Misdemeanors, kind of a New York contingent for that movie.
Arguably the biggest upset in Oscars history, even with Art Carney.
The 1950 Best Actress, as we've alluded to a lot, but we've never released this episode, Betty Davis.
It was a good one for us to record, but it was kind of tough to release it. We wanted to prime you guys. We know a lot of listeners may not have seen all the older films, so we wanted to kind of work that in a little bit to our dialogue, which we've started to do a lot recently, so maybe that'll be one we should
watching
release shortly.
Watching as many MCU movies, watching as many new movies, watching as many Netflix movies, we may try to re-record these in between all that, just so we don't have to rewatch everything again.
Yeah,
because we've already done the homework for it.
And you've heard we said All About Eve, Sunset Boulevard are two of the all-time classics in cinema history. If you love movies, if you have a film appreciation to you, like we both do, obviously.
Oh, and there was another one from that with the gangster and the gangster's wife. What was that called? Judy Holliday and Born Yesterday.
That's right.
So that we had a lot of fun watching that movie as well. So look forward to those movies. I know a lot of those movies are actually on VOD, on demand, on streaming, so you can watch them for free. So those are
most of them actually hold up extremely well.
The next few retrospectives we do is probably those three. So we kind of gave you a heads up. But look, I mean, we love to mine Oscar history. We're both history buffs in our own way, and beyond the Oscar history part. But yeah,
I like wrestling.
We're going to try to sprinkle in some Oscar history stat episodes, which I guess is what today is. And that being said, it's kind of amazing to go back in time and also find a lot of the same problems with the Academy, with voting body nonsense. It's interesting to go back and see socially and politically the same climates that caused humanity to react in the same kind of ways.
And that's why when we do our retrospectives, we'll give you a year in review as well. And that's not just to remind you of what happened, but you hear us talk on this podcast all the time about should films be a product of their backdrop. Well, I happen to think they should, and you can definitely see the correlation between the political and pop culture happenings and what was released and how it was received. I think that's very important to see.
You got a lot of strains of archetypal stories and archetypal films being told again and again throughout all of Oscar history, and then again, you also have progress. You have progress for women, for minorities.
It's granted, it took until 2017.
It takes a long time, and we're still not where we need to be. But there is a golf clap worthy, you know, movement or something.
Good for
that,
you for addressing that gaping wound
that finally is addressed, or that finally
we by no means
or that's think ignored, that, and we can get angry about
it. By no means think that the Me Too movement, the Time's Up movement, all that stuff, it's great. We by no means think that that means everything is fixed and perfect going forward. This has been a start of something.
Oh, we've raged in those previous retrospectives, and we'll continue to do that. Maybe that's like a subconscious reason for why we've kind of backed off it a little bit.
We have a lot of rage.
That's why we've done comic book movies and Netflix and stuff.
We have a lot of rage and a lot of inappropriate laughter.
The Shape of Water wins, and we just go on a tangent for MCU movies after that.
I think you want mutants? I'll show you mutants.
I need a 7 podcast arc on comic
something
book
we
movies.
Enjoy watching. Yeah.
Pew pew. Okay, all right. So I guess I'm kind of gonna drive the bus a little bit here, at least to start.
Yeah, this is another one of also Mike's babies. Like I said in the previous episode, he's been going on a content storm. So good for him. Take it.
The countdown of Oscars winningest films. We have 26 films who have won 5 Oscars apiece, and we're not gonna list those. But you can go on Wikipedia and check those out. We have 12 films. From 38th place down to 27th place, that have won 6 Oscars apiece.
Yeah, 6 is getting up there. When you win 6, you're in some rarefied air.
There's some big names here. All About Eve, La La Land, Chicago, Forrest Gump, Mrs. Miniver, The Godfather Part 2, Star Wars, Mad Max Fury Road, The Hurt Locker, A Place in the Sun, An American in Paris, and A Man for All Seasons, all won 6.
Gun to your head, does any one of those names stand out to you? As maybe it shouldn't belong, maybe it should get more than 6.
Should have won more. All About Eve and Godfather Part 2 probably should have won more.
Yeah, I will absolutely agree with that. I'm going to say Chicago probably doesn't belong.
I think Star Wars should have won more. Oh, yeah. All right, Ski by Skip, All About Eve, Star Wars, The Godfather Part 2.
God, are you going to make me hurt our Star Wars fans again? Yeah, Skip, Star Wars, man. Buy All About Eve, see The Godfather Part 2.
Seen it too many times.
I don't have the love for it in film.
I've seen it too many times. Yeah. I'd probably say the same thing. All right, so 11 films from 26th place down to 16th place have won 7 Oscars. This 7-win group includes...
7, good God.
Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, God. 7?
7. Shakespeare in Love, Schindler's List.
That's worthy.
Dances with Wolves.
That's not worthy.
Out of Africa.
Worthy.
Gravity. The Sting.
Okay.
Patton.
Worthy.
Going My Way.
Never seen it.
Lawrence of Arabia. The Best Years of Our Lives. And The Bridge on the River Kwai.
Bridge on the River Kwai is interesting. There's a couple of those I wouldn't have guessed at 1-7. The Sting is worthy, I think. Patton is actually my father's all-time favorite, but also the year in which he stopped watching films going forward.
Right.
So that's the last movie he's known that it came out back in the...
quick, Mike, give me a C by Skip. Hurry up. Seven-time winners.
C by Skip of 7-time winners. Schindler's List, Out of Africa, and The Sting.
Oof. The Sting, I've seen all 3. Schindler's List is a tough watch. I probably
tell
skip
everyone
it.
You're gonna skip Schindler's List?
I would skip
you
it.
Fucking Nazi!
I'm a sucker for Out of Africa, so I'd buy that and I'd see this thing.
Oh! Oh, my heart!
Well, I regret doing just what I just did.
Okay. Let's start with the top 14 films.
Top 15. Oh, 15,
I'm sorry.
For 14,
top 15 yeah. That have the most Oscar wins. Now, we're going... strictly by wins. There is a tiebreaker involved with some winning shares as far as whether one won 8 out of 10 or 8 out of 12.
Correct.
Stuff like that. But these are the biggest, most wins without any attachments of percentages or anything like that. So tied for 14th place, having won 8 out of its 10 possible nominations in 1972, Cabaret, having 8 wins, which I was surprised to learn.
Right.
Not something I would have known was an 8-time
in the year
winner.
Of...
Godfather, yeah. Best Godfather. Picture, Deliverance, The Emigrant, Sounder, Sleuth, The Ruling Class, Poseidon Adventure, The Candidate, Heavy Year. You go back to those early 70s and you're going to just see a plethora of well-known films coming out year after year. And
how?
The fact that Cabaret pulled off 8 wins.
How did this film win 8 awards in the year of The Godfather? most people think that's the best movie of all time, yeah. and it won 8?
Yeah.
8? Yeah. I love Bob Fosse. I do. Liza Minnelli is funny, man. She's funny in Arrested Development. She's adorable, always.
Better in Arrested Development, I think.
Good God, 8?
Big wins for it. Best director, Bob Fosse, like also Mike just said. Best actress, Liza Minnelli. Best supporting actor, Joel Grey.
FFC didn't win best director in this? It's insane! WTF, that's a shocker.
I can't believe you have this much resentment for Cabaret in 72.
I'm Italian.
And then Art Carney comes along and just slaps history in the face in 74.
I did not like Cabaret. I'm sorry. I'm an all that jazz person.
That's like the Sharks and the Jets back in West Side Story going at it.
Yeah, I'm a that is not an imposing figure.
You're in the wrong part of town, son. Isn't all that jazz part of town.
We don't take kindly to the cabaret types in these parts.
Jazz hands.
All right, the number 14 are tied for 14th place. Again, 8 out of 10, that's why it's tied. 2008's Slumdog Millionaire.
Who wants to be a Slumdog Millionaire?
With 8 wins there. It was in the year of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Overrated.
Frost Nixon.
Great movie.
Milk.
A movie.
The Reader. Doubt.
Again, a movie. Doubt, fantastic movie. If you do not see Doubt and Frost Nixon, don't listen to us.
Rachel Getting Married, In Bruges, Wall-E, The Dark Knight, and Iron Man also out that year.
See by skip, In Bruges, The Dark Knight, and Iron Man.
Well, I'm buying In Bruges because I always watch that. I'll probably skip Iron Man. I've got my fill. I'll watch The Dark Knight even yet again.
All right.
Well, that was fast.
That was fast
thinking by me, and now my brain is
broke. And
you
killed the MCU, so I'm glad you built up our credibility. Number 3 of our MCU reviews will be coming out shortly.
Slumdog Millionaire's highlight wins from 2008 were Best Picture, Best Director for Danny Boyle, and Best Adapted Screenplay. Still amazed that The Dark Knight wasn't nominated for Best Picture this year.
This is what spurred. It was this year, Slumdog winning, Dark Knight not even being nominated, that changed the Oscars as we know them today.
5 to 10.
The Best Picture nominees went from 5 to having a max of 10. This year, right. This past year, of course, there were 9 nominated. They do have that option if they see fit. But with the preferential balloting, that's going to be the new controversy that everyone's talking about that's already started this year, and I'm sure will continue.
I'll be honest with you. I thought Wall-E was good enough to be nominated for
a
Best Picture.
I mean, this is great. If you go back and look at this year, this is like 72 before it with Cabaret. This is a bit Frost Nixon, Doubt, Wall-E, The Reader. Oh, huge, Dark Knight, not to say anything about that. Huge, right. Huge movies we just had in our MCU 1. We both said Iron Man 1 could easily have been up for adapted screenplay. It wasn't even not given serious nomination.
Slumdog Millionaire, I mean, the filmmaking aspect of it, like Danny Boyle, would I ever begrudge Danny Boyle winning a Best Director for this? Probably not. However, as a movie, as a story, I can't put it on par with Wall-E and The Dark Knight. I get that they get poo-pooed on.
There are 5 movies in that list that scenes immediately spring to mind before a single scene in Slumdog knows.
Slumdog, I've probably seen it just the once when it was out for Oscar time.
Tied for 12th place, we're still going with the 8-time winners here. So number 12, 1982's Gandhi. I'm going to put my cards on the table here. I've never actually seen it all the way through. I've only seen bits and pieces.
Long watch. Yeah. Long movie.
It's because I want to see my kids grow up. 1982, of course, the year of E.T., The Extraterrestrial Missing, Tootsie, The Verdict, An Officer and a Gentleman, Love Lift Us Up. That's how me and Mike end every recording. Me picking him up like that and that song playing Captain and Tennille. Diner, Das Boot, which I have seen, and my God, I wish I didn't. Sophie's Choice, Blade Runner, Poltergeist. Gandhi's highlight wins were Best Picture, Best Director for Richard Attenborough, Best Actor Ben Kingsley, of course, and Best Original Screenplay. Talk to me more about An Officer and a Gentleman.
It's like my dad's favorite movie, by the way.
I can totally see that.
But this year, in terms of Oscar movies, this feels like an Oscar movie, right, Gandhi?
You can't. Again, I've never seen the whole thing, but you can't fault Gandhi and Ben Kingsley for walking away with gold.
Wouldn't you think that, all right, we make a movie about Gandhi. It's by Richard Attenborough. He's esteemed, and it's, you know, 3 hours long. It's a super epic, and it's shot like a David Lean movie.
But it's not to say that there weren't. I mean, The Verdict is a big movie. Officer and a Gentleman, I wouldn't think would be a Best Picture contender to knock Gandhi off, per se, but it was a big movie. Das Boot was huge. Sophie's Choice and Blade Runner, huge. Poltergeist, obviously, horror films just this year have started to get accepted.
Sophie's Choice and The Verdict, not winning. And those are so original. Well, Sophie's Choice is a book, so maybe that won a Best Adapted Screenplay. Be good if I did my research on all this stuff.
Yeah, but, why start now?
Those screenplays might be an interesting category to look at for future retrospectives.
E.T. was huge when it came out. I think it's only gotten bigger and more magical with time.
I haven't rewatched that one in so long. I'd be curious.
I don't think I've seen it since I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah no, it's another one that just easily kind of went by. All right. Also tied for 12th still. 8 for 11. 1984's Amadeus. 8 wins again. The Year of the Killing Fields. A Passage to India. Places in the Heart. A Soldier's Story. Broadway Danny Rose. The Karate Kid. The Natural. Splash.
How dare you put The Karate Kid on that list?
It was nominated for something.
Of the biggest fucking movies.
It was nominated for... No, Mr. Miyagi was nominated. The Natural. Splash. Ghostbusters. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And it's also the Year of My Birth.
Oh, well, that was the 9th win right there, so this should be up.
Amadeus highlight wins Best Picture, Best Director Milos Forman, Best Actor F. Murray Abraham, and Best Adapted Screenplay.
I don't have much to add about this except F. Murray Abraham was pretty damn funny in the most recent Curb Your Enthusiasm season.
Very true. don't be an outfit tracker, right? Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Indiana Jones. It shows you how times have changed in that Amadeus is the winner from this. If these were all released this year, maybe probably Indiana Jones, for as epic as it was and as big a standing in pop culture as it has, the Oscars have started to shift less towards the snooty, nose-in-the-air film critic beloved ones to more widely acceptable cult classic slash blockbuster following ones. We've seen that with Get Out. We saw that with...
I think you're hanging around with me too much, because I think that's what I would like to have happen, but I don't know if that's happening.
You don't think
happening. It's happening? It's happening more towards horror films. I don't know if it's happened towards the blockbusters yet. I think we'd like it to happen.
Yeah, well, case-by-case basis, I don't think we need to see Michael Bay holding an Oscar with Transformers anytime soon.
I don't think you have to worry about that one. You got the next one.
Cancel Michael Bay. Tied for 10th place now. We're moving up the more nominations, the more higher rank that we put these. 8 for 12 now, so the 20% was less, but it did have more categories to win from. 1954's On the Waterfront, another 8-time winner. The Year of Kane Mutiny, The Country Girl, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Three Coins in the Fountain, Rear Window, The High and Mighty, Sabrina, and A Star is Born. On the Waterfront's highlight wins were Best Picture, Best Director for Elia Kazan, Best Actor for Marlon Brando, Best Supporting Actress for Eva Marie Saint, and Best Screenplay. Boy, that sounds like a sweep, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to begrudge any of those wins either. On the Waterfront's pretty terrific. Some shockers in this year, just some weird stuff happening. 3 nominations for Best Director did not get nominated for Best Picture. Usually that happens once, right?
That is unique, yeah.
Like, you get David Lynch getting nominated in 2001. Mulholland Drive is not up for Best Picture like we covered in that one Best Director retrospective. But you don't get 3. I mean, that's unheard of.
Interesting.
Also, 3 nominees for Best Supporting Actor from On the Waterfront, the movie itself. Lee Cobb, Carl Malden, Rod Steiger, 3 titans. All 3 lost to Edmund O'Brien. Talk about cannibalization.
Yeah, that's gone away. That's gone the way of the dodo, seeing as studios now spend so much money leading up to the Oscars voting in this day and age, pushing their nominees and placing them in certain places. That's why you get the Viola Davis as the Best Supporting Actress instead of the Best Lead Actress, where she's a shoo-in to win her Oscar for Fences.
Right.
And that whole controversy that followed there.
Tie for 10th place, 8 for 12, like On the Waterfront there. 1964's My Fair Lady, 8 wins. The Year of Beckett, Dr. Strangelove, Mary Poppins, Zorba the Greek, Marriage Italian Style, Night at the Iguana, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and Goldfinger, because I just threw...
Goldfinger!
I'm not a huge fan of old Bond movies, so that's just me.
Oh, you can... this podcast is over. You're wrong. And how dare you?
It's so goofy.
Yeah, well, no, you're wrong. Keep backing it up if you want.
I've watched too many Austin Powers
incorrect
movies.
the Bond movies didn't become actual film classics. They started off as such. Dr. No, Goldfinger were unique. They were heavily beloved.
Yeah.
They tailed off towards the middle. They didn't become, you know, must-see events, really, until, I would argue, Daniel Craig took the helm with the Casino Royales, the Skyfalls, and those types of movies.
Right, right. My Fair Lady highlight wins were Best Picture, Best Director George Cukor, and Best Actor Rex Harrison, also Dr. Doolittle there.
So Dr. Strangelove, obviously, that's the Kubrick movie. Mary Poppins is a very popular one. Have you ever seen Zorba the Greek?
Mary Poppins strikes up some kind of feelings in me that I don't necessarily understand. I think I've referenced this before.
Yeah, you've explained that on a pod or two in our lifetime.
The Umbrellas of Cherbourg was Damien Chazelle's favorite movie, and he referenced that as when he based La La Land on. I haven't seen it. I got to see it.
Have you ever seen Zorba the Greek?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It's not great. It's long.
I would say it's bad and long.
It's very long. It's Anthony. I had to. Who? Anthony Quinn, right?
I don't remember.
Isn't his name Anthony Quinn?
Sure.
Pretty sure.
I had to watch that in a, I think it was a linguistics class in college that I had to take for general credits.
It is Anthony Quinn. I've heard nothing you've just said. I've Googled.
You didn't miss anything.
You took it in college.
It was bad. It was just a bad movie.
You took the Zorba the Greek seminar in college? Okay. Moving on. You're up.
We're going into 13-time nominated films now. Still only 8 wins. Only. 1953 is From Here to Eternity. Won 8 times. The Year of Julius Caesar. The Robe. Roman Holiday. Shane. Stalag.
Stalag? I don't know. Mogambo. I'll give you that one.
Stalag 17, Mogambo. Gonna shock you to hear me say it's not a year I'm overly familiar with.
No.
From Here to Eternity's highlights were Best Picture, Best Director for Fred Zinnemann, and Best Screenplay. Of those mentioned, I've only seen parts of Shane, I think Roman Holiday. I'm not even sure.
Shane!
About that. Yeah, that's the sign.
By
scene.
Parts of Shane,
that's the
do
scene
you mean
I've seen.
In the movie Logan, you watched Logan and the girl watching Shane.
I don't have to answer that. Next.
I was forced to watch Shane in school. I think I've watched Roman Holiday because my mother had it on a literal holiday, and I watched it. I've seen The Robe when I was a kid because I was religious. Stalag 17 I've seen.
You've seen?
Mogambo I've seen. No, but here's the thing. Like, I was renting a lot of videos at college and being lonely in my dorm room.
I've seen some things with Mandingo, but
Never seen The Year of Julius Caesar. I don't know what that is. From Here to Eternity is it's an epic movie, super duper epic. I will say that much.
Never seen it. I'm out of my wit here.
This is one of those categories that I'm not proud to have seen any of these movies.
You are very impressive with your movie watching prowess.
I've seen a lot of movies.
I need to pick up the classics.
It's not helpful.
That's why I'm glad we did this. 1950s Best Actress. I'm serious. I'm very glad I've seen those movies. I probably wouldn't have otherwise, but those are certainly worth seeing.
Tied for 8th place, 8 for 13. 1939's winner was Gone with the Wind.
Ugh.
8 awards taken home from that. This is the year of Dark Victory, Goodbye Mr. Chips, Love Affair, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Ninotchka, Of Mice and Men, Stagecoach, The Wizard of Oz, Wuthering Heights. Apparently, by many people who rank Oscar categories, this is the strongest Oscar category in a long, 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 long time, maybe ever.
As far as Best Picture goes?
Best Pictures category. So Gone with the Wind's highlights: Best Picture, a.k.a. Outstanding Production,
yeah,
which was what it was
way
called.
Back.
Back then, yeah, that's what it was called. Best Director, Victor Fleming. And, of course, it was a monumental event. Best Supporting Actress, Hattie McDaniel winning that. And of course, Best Screenplay.
Again, not going to have a whole lot. I got to get my ass in gear with the classics. But Wizard of Oz, obviously, everyone has seen. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is a classic as well. It's a good one. Of Mice and Men, I don't know that I've ever seen the 39 production. I've seen some remakes.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that either. I'd have to. I've seen a couple versions of it. Wuthering Heights, I'm very unfamiliar with. So we may have to do this category at some
point.
Yeah,
especially if it's
a series on this one. This is a film classic.
We'll ease you guys into the classics. We'll give you 1950s Best Actresses.
And then we'll do a 10-part series on 1939.
Right.
No, I mean,
start slow is what we're saying.
We gotta watch Gone with the Wind. What's wrong with us?
We don't hate ourselves.
Jerks.
That's what's wrong with
what
us.
Was the movie that they watched at the end? They started watching Gone with the Wind. It was a rom-com. And at the end of it, they're both like, okay, look, we should watch Gone with the Wind. And that means we're both In Sync.
I don't remember.
And I'm embarrassed because we looked it up and it was Obvious Child, which is a good movie.
We looked it up, but if we had given you enough time, you would have come up with it.
It's kind of an obscure movie. I thought it was like 500 Days of Summer or something like that. But it's,
my
it's
point is,
Jenny Slate's Obvious Child.
You've seen everything.
I need friends.
Tied for sixth place, the nine-time winners now, and we're going to start with the sweeps. 9 for 9, tied for the second best sweep of all time. 1987's The Last Emperor. It won Best Picture over Broadcast News, Fatal Attraction, Hope and Glory, and Moonstruck. Best Director for Bernardo Bertolucci over Adrian Lynn for Fatal Attraction, John Borman for Hope and Glory, Norman Jewison for Moonstruck, and Lasse Hallström for My Life as a Dog. Also won Best Adapted Screenplay, Original Score, Sound, Art Direction, Cinematography, Costume Design, and Film Editing. We covered 87 in the Best Actress category,
yes,
with Cher over Meryl. Didn't have a nominee in that category for Last Emperor.
And how entertained were we by Fatal Attraction, Moonstruck, and even you could say Broadcast News, you know, it needles you. It makes you aggravated, but certainly entertaining. This movie is so boring. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you've said you are not a fan.
Maybe I'll watch it again, and now I'm old, and I'll appreciate it more. Because I like Bernardo Bertolucci. I've seen other Italian films he's done. This movie is so boring. All right, moving on. Another tie for sixth place, and I realize it's kind of weird to count these down with all the ties, but now this is really the sixth place. We're down to the bottom six.
Okay.
Counting down. Again, tied for the second best sweep with Last Emperor because it was 9 for 9. This is 1958's Gigi.
Of course, starring Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
No, with 9 wins, not the Al Pacino Bennifer movie. Gigi won Best Picture over Cat on a Tin Roof, Auntie Mame, Separate Tables, and The Defiant Ones. It won Best Director for Vincente Minnelli over Richard Brooks, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Robert Wise, I Want to Live, Stanley Kramer, The Defiant Ones, and Mark Robson, The Inn of the Sixth Happiness. And it won Best Adapted Screenplay, Score, Original Song, Art Direction, Costume Design, Cinematography, and Film Editing. That's Gigi.
That's how you know when the sweep is on, too. We've talked about this in other episodes. But when you start winning those undercard ones, Original Song is relatively big, but Original Song, Score, Art Direction, Costume Design, Cinematography, Film Editing, you know, when you start getting those down and you have a picture doing that that's already nominated for Best Picture,
right,
you're sensing it's going to have a big night.
It won a lot of the technical categories. Another movie that didn't win an major acting category that year.
So still went 9 for 9, which is pretty damn impressive.
Just like Bernardo Bertolucci's Last Emperor somehow. Okay, next one, Mike.
Fifth place, we are 12 nominations now, still 9 wins. 1996, The English Patient, starring, of course, Kevin Costner. No, it's Ralph Fiennes. We went over this in our last episode, but I'm going to still believe
movie.
It's Kevin Costner. Best Picture over Fargo.
Fuck you.
Jerry English Maguire. Man. Ugh. Secrets and Lies and Shine. Even Shine was a decent movie.
Everybody secretly loved Jerry Maguire, and they didn't pick it.
You had me at hello.
They picked... This is such a compromise candidate.
My
God. They're all vulnerable after watching Jerry Maguire and being emotionally moved by it. And here they pick The English Patient, which is a more bougie way to do a romance. Terrible.
It's boring. Terribly boring. Best Director for Anthony Minghella. Over Joel Coen for Fargo. My God. Milos Forman for The People versus Larry Flint. Even that one was really good. Mike Lee for Secrets and Lies. Scott Hicks for Shine. Best Supporting Actress. Juliette Binoche over Joan Allen for The Crucible. Wasn't that one of your favorites?
That was a good Crucible, yeah.
Lauren Bacall, The Mirror
Daniel
Has Two
Day-Lewis
Faces.
Daniel Day-Lewis Crucible, I think.
You're right. Barbara Hershey, The Portrait of a Lady, Marion Jean Baptiste for Secrets and Lies, and Original Dramatic Score, Sound, Art Direction, Cinematography, Costume Design, and Film Editing were the other wins for The English Patient. Best thing about The English Patient, again, I brought it up last episode when we were talking about it. Not, in fact, that I misplaced Kevin Costner as the lead actor instead of Ralph Fiennes, but no. The best thing The English Patient ever gave us was that Seinfeld episode
where Elaine
can't stand it.
Yeah, we may have to hate watch this at some point just to confirm
our systems.
What we're saying so emphatically. All right, fourth place, 10 for 11, 1961's West Side Story. Again, 10 wins. Best Picture, West Side Story, over Fanny, The Guns of Navarone, The Hustler, and Judgment at Nuremberg. Best Director winner was Robert Wise and Jerome Robbins, two-part directing tandem there. They won it for West Side Story over Stanley Kramer's Judgment at Nuremberg, Federico Fellini's La Dolce Vita, J. Lee Thompson, The Guns of Navarone, Robert Rosen's The Hustler, and Best Supporting Actor went to George Chakiris over Montgomery Clift, Judgment at Nuremberg, Peter Falk, Pocketful of Miracles, Jackie Gleason, and George C. Scott for The Hustler. That's what a category.
Unforgivable.
What a category. And this other guy, I haven't seen West Side Story, so I can't really get that angry with it, but okay, Rita Moreno.
He wasn't better than Jackie Gleason in The Hustler.
George C. Scott! Yeah. Oh my goodness. Rita Moreno, just at this year's Oscars, talking for way too long like I am right now.
Yeah, wore the same dress. We got it.
they hammed it up. They talked for a while. Yeah. Ava Marie Saint and Rita Moreno, they did not, let other people onto the stage.
Nope.
Okay, Rita Moreno won for Best Supporting Actress that year over Faye Bainter for The Children's Hour, Judy Garland in Judgment at Nuremberg, Lottie Lenya for The Roman Spring of Mrs. Stone, and Una Merkel for Summer and Smoke. West Side Story also won original score, sound recording, art direction, cinematography, costume design, and film editing.
So you hear all the names that West Side Story beat out in on pace for its 10 of 11 wins here, the 10 wins it had. George C. Scott, Jackie Gleason, we just said, Montgomery Clift. What else did you say? Judy Garland was beaten out.
Mount Rushmore types.
And we're remaking it. Steven Spielberg's already put out the casting call to cast...
For West Side Story.
Yeah, I don't know why we need to remake it.
Because musicals are doing well. I mean, Greatest Showman did well.
So make La a new Land musical, well. No? I mean, didn't we just prove that with La La Land?
That's true. La La Land and The Greatest
Showman.
People
want to see new musicals?
Yeah.
I don't know. So...
I don't know. I've never seen the old one. I'll have to do it. Well, we probably have to do this category now because... Or one of the categories from 1961.
You may have
never
to
seen
do
it.
Best Actor there. That's a me problem. Again.
Oh, yeah, that Best Supporting Actor. That's crazy.
Third place, the 11 for 11. The best sweep of all time, 2003's Lord of the Ring, The Return of the King. 11 wins, Best Picture over Lost in Translation, Master and Commander, Mystic River, and Seabiscuit. Best Director Peter Jackson over Sofia Coppola for Lost in Translation, Fernando Meirelles for City of God, Peter Weir for Master and Commander, and Clint Eastwood for Mystic River. Adapted screenplay went to Jackson, Fran Walsh, and Philippa Boyens over American Splendor, City of God, Mystic River, Seabiscuit. 8 technical awards, original score for Howard Shore, original song for Annie Lennox, sound mixing, art direction, makeup, costume design, film editing, visual effects.
I had to do a double take for that Annie Lennox win. That was like, I think these dreams are made of this?
Yeah, she won it for Walking on Broken Glass, right? Is that it? No.
That was in Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. What?
Could have been a Sam Frodo love scene,
Such a nonsense way of answering, commenting on this category. We're a little shot.
Seabiscuit, movie about a horse. We know how I feel about those.
I didn't love Seabiscuit. It's all right. It gets you towards the end.
And that's the thing about this year. Like, yeah.
My brother loves
Seabiscuit. Return of the King could have had... He does. Return of the King could have probably been upset in a couple of these categories, but what was its biggest competition? Mystic River, I guess, would be the second... Master and Commander sucked.
Mystic River's a tough rewatch, though. Yeah, Master and Commander sucks to this day. Always sucked. Lost in Translation's one of those, like... Phantom Thread type movies that gets better upon rewatch.
Yeah, but it's never going to get enough support to, rock the boat in that way. Right. No pun intended.
Right.
So I don't know. Yep. Number two.
Number two, 11 wins out of 12 nominations, 11 for 12. 1959's Ben-Hur. Probably a lot of people watched it yesterday. It's a popular Easter watch. Best Picture, Ben-Hur over Anatomy of a Murder, The Diary of Anne Frank, The Nun's Story, and Room at the Top. Best Director, William Wyler, wins over George Stevens' The Diary of Anne Frank, Fred Zinnemann's The Nun's Story, Jack Clayton's Room at the Top, Billy Wilder's Some Like It Hot. How's that not nominated
That's
for
crazy.
Best Picture?
Yeah.
Best Actor, Charlton Heston, over Lawrence Harvey's Room at the Top, Jack Lemmon's Some Like It Hot, Paul Muni's The Last Angry Man, and Jimmy Stewart, Anatomy of a Murder there. Best Supporting Actor, Hugh Griffith, over Arthur O'Connell and George C. Scott in Anatomy of a Murder, Robert Vaughn, The Young Philadelphians, Ed Wynn, The Diary of Anne Frank, and it also won original score, sound recording, art direction, cinematography in the color categories, costume design color categories, film editing, and special effects. So Ben-Hur might have won some because it went color and black and white back then, but this is one of the first movies we've done with a lot of acting categories, two acting categories, as well as the technicals. Usually you get the technical marvel. Now you got some acting categories involved.
2 out of 3 years, George C. Scott got nominated for an Oscar with someone in the same category, in the same movie as him. You would think in 59 and 61 it happened, you would think they would have learned their lesson the first time, but...
This is a nonsense comment. To me, like, his comp, his, like, comparable actor to today's generation, just feels like Tommy Lee Jones. Am I wrong to say that? Is the next generation going to enjoy Tommy Lee Jones the same way you and I enjoy George C. Scott?
That's a loaded question to spring on me 3/4 of the way through our second taping of the day. I could see it.
George C. Scott and Scrooge. I mean, we know him as kids from his Ebenezer Scrooge, from his voicing of the bad guy in The Rescuers. You know, the Down Under cartoon movie. I mean, he's great. You watch him in The Hospital. You watch him in 12 Angry Men. My God, what a great actor.
I'm going to go with I don't know. Okay. That's going to be my official answer. I don't know.
All right, Mike, you got first place.
Yeah, well, I had to watch Anatomy of a Murder for one of my law classes.
I didn't love that.
It served no purpose.
I didn't love that movie. It's great cast, too.
I liked it. That was decent.
Did you?
Enough, yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it, I guess.
First place. Best win of all time, most nominations of all time, actually tied with a couple others for most nominations, but 11 wins out of 14 nominations, 1997. You all know where this is going. Titanic. It was the subject of our very first episode, or actually our first retrospective episode, back over last summer. Best picture over As Good As It Gets, The Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, and L.A. Confidential, which was actually the retrospective we did, 1997's Best Picture race.
Yeah.
Best director, James Cameron, winning over Peter Cataneo, The Full Monty, Gus Van Sant for Good Will Hunting, Curtis Hanson for L.A. Confidential, and Adam McGoyan for The Sweet Hereafter. Original song!
You're punchy.
Thank you. It's by Metallica, of course. Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On. Dramatic score for James Horner. Sound effects, editing, best sound, art direction, cinematography, costume design, film editing, visual effects, the other winners for Titanic.
All right, see by skip, top three, Mike. Ben-Hur, Titanic, and who is number three? Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. The 11-time winners.
I will... skip. God, they're all epics too. I will skip Ben-Hur. I will buy Titanic and I will see Lord of the Rings.
I'll actually buy Lord of the Rings and I'll see Titanic in this trio. I know I've talked about
those.
Yeah,
that's a little reversal of
a little differently before. And yeah, I've seen Ben-Hur enough when I was a kid. A lot of Easter watches. It was on an Easter yesterday.
I didn't see it.
It's okay. I don't know.
Too busy. Not
it's kind of epic. I mean, you get roused by an epic.
You got to be in it though, especially for those older ones. I think you got to like kind of motivate yourself to
very
get ready
true
to sit through a 3-hour 1950 made movie. But I could see you. I could see people thoroughly enjoying Ben-Hur as well. The remake, no good. Go quickly through the ones that swept the big five categories. So we talk often on this podcast about the big seven. Big five is a movie that wins one of these screenplays, so it cuts down on both of them. Obviously, can only be nominated for one of them. Wins either adapted or original screenplay, and then everything but the supporting categories. So the supporting categories aren't considered. Lead actress, lead actor, best director, best picture, along with one of the screenplays. Only three movies in the history of film have ever done it. They've been in three different decades. 1934, 1975, and 1991. Can you name 91s? That'll be easy.
Silence of the Lambs.
Can you name 75s?
Kramer versus Kramer?
Close. Well, you're on the right track. I'm One wrong. Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
Can you name 34s?
Hell no.
It happened one night. 1934s, it happened one
I
night.
I should have known.
Interesting because it was only nominated for 5 awards, and it won all 5 of those awards, right?
Crazy.
Those awards. Best Picture, It Happened One Night. Best Director, Frank Capra. Actor, Clark Gable. Actress, Claudette Colbert. And Best Screenplay, Adapted Screenplay going Colbert to Robert Riskin.
Colbert. Like Stephen.
Like Stephen. Okay. 75 was the 48th Academy Awards. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, of course. Milos Forman, the director. Jack Nicholson. Louise Fletcher for Best Actress. Lawrence Hobbin and Bo Goldman both getting credit for the adapted screenplay wins there. And 1991, 64th Academy Awards. Silence of the Lambs had 7 total nominations on the evening. It won the 5, but each of the 5 were the biggies.
Yeah.
Obviously, Best Picture. Jonathan Demme for Best Director. Anthony Hopkins, Jodie Foster for actress, actor, and Ted Talley for adapted screenplay. So those are the biggest ones. We have 3 11-time winners, 3 5-for-5 sweeps.
Paul Thomas Anderson just came out and said that whenever I have a filmmaking question, I go, what would Jonathan Demme do?
Probably a good way to address yourself, and it's worked for PTA. He just had the Phantom Thread this past year that we obsessed over.
I kind of weirdly liked Rachel Getting Married to Jonathan Demme. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm a big Jonathan Demme Silence of the Lambs guy. I guess he stretches.
Do we have anything that piques your interest going back to our 2019 year in review Oscars, way too early Oscars prediction podcast that you think could be up for a 5-for-5 year? Based on the sound.
Oh, but the problem is, Widows. Widows, by the sound of it, Steve McQueen, loaded, Best Director.
Yep, loaded, absolutely.
And it has such a big cast.
Mm-hmm. But is it going to turn into one of those ensemble pieces where it's too many people?
But I can see it getting nominated for all those categories.
It's a good call. Good call back by you, too. I would think Backseat, has an outside chance.
Outside chance, sure.
I don't know.
If Beale Street Could Talk is another one that has a big cast, Jenkins.
I would toss in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I don't know that Tarantino's going to have enough goodwill built up.
It's going to get pushed to 2019, too, it sounds.
The Irishman, probably.
Damien Chazelle's First Man.
First Man.
A lot of probably technical categories. I don't know. Does it have a Best Actress?
That's what I was thinking, too. I don't know if it has enough.
It sounds like it's the astronauts in space for a lot of the movie.
We'll see. So this is the Hollywood royalty we're up against. We wanted to take a look back in this preview to the retrospectives as we get back on course and kind of stimulate our own selves here and give us motivation to do some other retrospectives that we otherwise may not have given thought to.
Yeah, this was fun. This was
39 might be something we do for
I'm teased.
A Best Picture. We might do that Jackie Gleason category for supported actor.
Yeah.
We'll see. But if you want to reach out to us, if you have any other thoughts on this episode or any others, you got some see-by-skips for us to play with. We want to try to hopefully do one of the ones that you guys suggest on our next episode or our next recording. Reach out to us. Let us know. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, Mike, Mike, and Oscar @gmail.com, Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Reddit. Reach out to us. Let us know. We hope to hear from you guys, whether about this episode or anything else. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Any last words?
Yeah, do send us those see-by-skips. I'll say it again.
Yeah, for sure.
Or react to the ones we've done. Let's have some fun with it.
We will see you next time for... What are we doing?
Don't make a sound. A Quiet Place is coming out.
You could have kept making noises. I would have had no idea what you were talking about. My brain is just fried.
I made an inside joke to myself. There, that's great. No, but A Quiet Place. What if somebody farted? What if somebody ate a potato chip? We're going to find out. We're going to make fun of ourselves and the movie. But apparently it's going to be awesome.
That's the word. But I also don't know how realistic it is now that I would never think about them passing gas the whole time. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.